Cyber attacks, terrorism, just a few of the national security concerns topping the list for the 114th Congress. Ahead of President Barack Obama's State of the Union address tonight, Mac Thornberry will lay out his vision for the military. The Texas Republican chairs the House Armed Services Committee, and he's going to speak at the American Enterprise Institute later this morning. He joins us now along with former Missouri Senator Jim Talent. He's now an AEI Senior Fellow. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having us.
So, Congressman, let me ask you, first of all, along your roadmap for the military, how does it deviate from what's happening now?
Well, a couple points. One is I think it's important for Congress to fully exercise its responsibilities under the Constitution. Sometimes you hear, well, the Congress is making the generals have something they don't want or whatnot. But from the beginning, it has been Congress's responsibility to build a military that meets the threats that we face. And then it's the president as commander-in-chief who's responsible for using that military. But secondly, it is only Congress that can spur reforms. And so right now we have a very great need to improve our procurement process, how the DOD procures goods and services. And so that's an example where it's going to be up to Congress, working with DOD for sure, but for some of these things it takes changes in law, and Congress is the one that has to do it.
And Jim Talent, I want to bring you in. You are now with AEI. What are your expectations and the crowd's expectations of the congressman today?
Well, we think he's we're looking forward to having him and his chairmanship of the committee, and I'm personally very pleased that he's assumed this role. He's right about the role of the Congress. I mean, the Constitution is pretty clear about that, and Congress has the ability to deliberate, to debate these things, to bring the public in, and then to build a consensus around defense policy. And we're expecting Mr. Thornberry to tell us today what he thinks some of the elements of that are going to entail. And of course, he'll flesh that out in the course of his chairmanship as time goes on.
And Congressman, you mentioned reforms to the procurement process. That's something that has been talked about for years now. Do you think that there is momentum and sufficient will in Congress to tackle this issue?
Yeah, no question. Partly because it's gotten so bad, I think everybody recognizes we have to make improvements. But the rest of the story is there is no silver bullet, no magic 2,000-page bill Congress can pass that will solve all of our procurement problems. So we have already begun working with Undersecretary Frank Kendall and the service procurement executives to work together to see how we can reduce some of the redundancy, simplify some of the regulations, but also then increase the accountability for program performance. And you mentioned cyber and other challenges that we have in the future. If we don't improve the speed by which we can incorporate new technology, we're going to have a real problem in competing not only in cyber, but in outer space and in a whole host of areas where we need to do better.
When it comes to defense, it's almost the most local of issues, because in nearly every congressional district, there is some sort of military base or organization that has to do with the DOD and whose livelihoods depend on the Defense Department being big and strong. That's something that is a challenge when you're talking about any sort of reforms like this. So how do you propose to tackle that issue?
Well, any member of Congress, any senator, represents his or her district or state, and that's the way the Constitution sets it up to be. But the key is we cannot let parochial interests overcome the national interests. And I would suggest there is a national interest in having a strong military and one that is agile enough to deal with such an unpredictable world. So you got to count on everybody looking after the national interests and overcoming resistance if it's purely parochial. But I think a lot of things that get argued as purely parochial are not, in fact, that there is a legitimate national security case to be made for making one program decision over another. And I want to lay some of that out today.
We're speaking with Texas Congressman Mac Thornberry, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee. We also have on the phone former Missouri Senator Jim Talent, now an American Enterprise Institute senior fellow. I want to ask you both about sequestration. This is something that every defense official who has gone to Congress in the last couple of years has argued against. It's still the law of the land. How does that play into your roadmap, Congressman? And Jim Talent, I want to ask you, how do you think that it should play into it? And Congressman, I'll start with you.
Sure. Well, we can't have the military we should have with sequestration. And so I think there is widespread agreement among Republicans and Democrats in the House and the Senate that it is we've got to change it, especially for defense. The differences have been, okay, how do you change it? What are the details of what you do if you're going to relieve sequestration? I think Senator Talent and his colleagues on the National Defense Panel made a huge contribution in this area by pointing out many of the ways that sequestration hurts our military. So I think we're winning the argument. It's just we've got to come together on the details, and as you point out, it's the law, so that means you got to get the president to sign whatever fix we come up with, and I hope he'll work with us.
And Jim Talent, if you can briefly, members of Congress, and indeed in the Republican majority, are intent on keeping the budget small. That doesn't do very much to ease those who would say that sequestration should not be the law of the land. How would you like to see it changed?
Yeah, I agree entirely with what the chairman is saying, and he's right. The National Defense Panel, which was a bipartisan panel and chaired by Bill Perry and John Abizade, said that the BCA caps and sequester have got to go. And, you know, on the budget issue, Emily, this has gotten to the point now, and everybody agrees with this. I mean, literally, there's nobody arguing against this, that it's cut into the bone of the military. It's taking away capabilities we absolutely have to have. So we're going to pay the price to build the military up at some point. The longer we wait to do it, the more it's going to cost. So it's ironic and kind of perverse that in the name of cutting the budget and saving money, we've mired the military in a policy that is certainly going to end up costing us more money. So really all the considerations are on behalf of ending this. As the chairman says, the question is, can everybody agree on how to do it? And I know he's going to be a leader in trying to achieve that. I hope the president will be as well, and he's going to have an opportunity to address that, obviously, very soon.
And Congressman, you've been quoted in your local hometown newspaper, the Dallas Morning News, as saying that maybe we don't have the right institutions to deal with the ideological part of the struggle, speaking about the terrorist threat, the Islamic State, and others. When you look at how the military, indeed the national defense, should be into the future, how can we better prepare for that sort of ideology?
Well, and that's been a challenge for us since 9/11. And I think first you have to recognize that this is in part a military struggle, but in part it's an ideological struggle. And we, the United States, cannot win that ideological struggle ourselves. In large part, it's a battle within the religion of Islam. But on the other hand, we don't really have the institutions, the capability to assist the more moderates in Muslims to wage that ideological struggle. And so it's just one example where, as we look at the challenges we're facing in the world, the Cold War institutions that have served us well in that struggle may need to be revised, updated, to deal with the complexities that we face in the future. And that's just one example.
And what's going to be the first piece of legislation that you sponsor?
Well, I mentioned we're going to really push procurement reforms, not to solve it all in one swoop, but as a first step. So I'll be rolling that some of those ideas out before long, encouraging feedback. And of course, every year we have our National Defense Authorization Bill, where we have a variety of these policies, and we'll be marking that up in May.
Congressman Mac Thornberry chairs the House Armed Services Committee, and former Missouri Senator Jim Talent is an American Enterprise Institute Senior Fellow. Thank you to you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Emily.